proceed to the second agenda, agenda consultation. And I would pass that the chair to Gavin.
Thank you very much, Guru. So we're on agenda item number two, paper number two. This session, and importantly, the breakout session, which will follow on from it, is to discuss the feedback received from the 2015 agenda consultation and how that's helped inform the board's draft work plan. And there are a couple of specific questions that we will be asked to discuss in the breakout. They're in paragraph two of agenda paper two. One, looking at the balance between the board's different activities. Do we think that the balance is appropriate? And then secondly, any comments specifically on the draft programme for the active research projects and research pipeline, which I know as a group we have discussed on a number of occasions before. So I don't know, Peter, April, I hand it to you in terms of the paper and setting us up for the session.
Originally we had set aside 45 minutes allocated to this introductory session, but we're particularly interested in hearing your advice on the work plan, and so Peter and I hope that we'll be able to significantly reduce that so that we can move into the breakout sessions earlier and allocate proportionately more time to them. We've consulted with you several times when we were developing the request for views. That was issued in August, and it asked about the balance of our activities split between standard setting, implementation support, and research. It asked what research topics should be prioritized and how we should do that, whether we provide sufficient implementation support, and whether the pace of change is right. Now, there are obvious links with the trustees' request for views on the structure of effectiveness, especially with respect to the consistent application. We last spoke to you in November when both of those request for views were out for comment. Since then, the comment letter period ended. We received 119 comment letters, and this topic was discussed in more than 30 forums. The key messages that we received, these comments were discussed by the IASB at its March meeting. The key messages we received were that we should focus on finishing the insurance contracts and the conceptual frameworks. We had already, by the time of the March meeting, completed IFRS 16 on leases in January. There was also an important message that we should focus on our implementation activities rather than standards level projects. Important implementation activities include the support we give to new and recently issued standards, and I think IFRS 16 on leases is a good example of that post-issuance support. That we should maintain IFRS standards, and we should also include post-implementation reviews, which were generally very well received by respondents. And most respondents generally supported our evidence-based approach. Another key message was the importance of providing information that's useful to investors. Projects that were important to investors were identified across the range of respondents as being important, and those included projects such as primary financial statements, which includes performance reporting and principles of disclosure. And in their discussions in April and May, the board thought that improving communication effectiveness will be a very central theme for the coming years. Another key message we had was people requested a period of calm. And there were a number of reasons for this. This was a message that we also had in 2011. People would like a period of calm because change is a burden on all of our stakeholders, particularly smaller stakeholders. It would enable preparers to develop and enhance their reporting processes and their systems. And it would also allow stakeholders to implement new standards, because the level of change that will be required to implement IFRS 9 financial instruments, IFRS 15 revenue from contracts with customers, and IFRS 16 leases is likely to be considerable. And there was also an important distinction was made on the limitation on shareholders' capacity for change. Not only were stakeholders worried about the amount of time it would take them to implement new standards and to effect change in that way, but there's also difficulty in them taking full part in our consultation process. And there was talk of stakeholders having suffered consultation fatigue by responding to a number of documents. So the draft work plan strategy for 2017-21 is laid out in paper two. The trustees ratified extending the interval between agenda consultations to 5 years. So the draft work plan for discussion looks at the years 2017-21. And overall, the basis is that there's a switch away from the transaction-specific standards-level project, like leases, like insurance contracts, to place more emphasis on improving the communication effectiveness of financial statements, implementation, and the support of consistent application. There was also a drive for a standard setting that builds on the revised conceptual framework and enhances the consistency between standards. There was a consistent message that people appreciate the principle-based nature of IFRS standards and didn't want to move away from that. And there was also a request for an achievable and realistic research program. The first question that we'll ask you then on the in the breakout sessions is on this general overall balance of the board's activities and the split between implementation support, research, and standards level projects to see if that's about right, based on the draft work plan that's appended to paper two. And now Peter will introduce the research program and the second question.
Thanks, April. Good morning, everybody. So to give you a quick overview of what the board plans to do on the research agenda, I'm just going to run through a few things in the paper. First of all, I wanted to remind you that the purpose of the research program is to gather evidence before the board takes a decision to put a project on the standard setting agenda. So that's the sort of overall context of what the board's trying to do. We've first of all tried to slim down the active research agenda so that it doesn't look as though we're trying to work on 14 or 15 research projects all at the same time. And you'll see from page 17 of agenda paper 2 that the board proposes to focus on 6 active research programs to start projects to start with, which are all ones that are already in progress. There's a brief description of them on page 17. And also a summary on page 22. Now, I should add to that list, there are a couple that the board has been working on that are nearly finished on share-based payments and on discount rates, and we expect those to be largely wrapped up by the end of the year. And so they're not figuring on the table showing what we're expecting to be doing from the beginning of 2017. I should say as well that we plan to try and make the results of those projects available in a way that is visible to everybody and transparent, and also will remain visible and transparent in the future, so that if we ever need to look at those projects again in 5 or 10 or 15 years, we will be able to find them easily and you'll be able to find them easily. Now, next we've got, Hans referred to it earlier and April referred to it as a pipeline of research projects. These are ones that the board doesn't plan to work on immediately, but it does plan to work on at some stage over the period 2017 to 2021. In some cases, they're projects we haven't started at all. In other cases, they're projects that we started, but for whatever reason, need to wait for something else to happen first. So, for example, the project on the equity method of accounting, we think that's best done after we've started doing the post-implementation review of IFRS 11 on joint arrangements. There are 8 projects that we've listed in the pipeline there, and I wanted to mention 3 of them because they may well all be new to you, and also the scope is slightly different from some of the other things we've tried to do. Those are ones we've labelled as being feasibility studies, and the idea in each of those 3 cases is that we would have an initial quick look at something to see whether it looks as though it's a viable project. And in all 3 cases, we think that if it is viable, it's one that we believe would be a relatively quick standard setting project to accomplish if we do it. If our initial assessment suggests that it's going to be difficult and complicated and take years, then our recommendation to the board is likely to be to do nothing at all. So that's the idea. Have a quick look, see whether it's feasible. If it's not feasible, then drop it. If it is feasible, then try and develop it as a relatively quick standard. So one of those is about extending the scope of the hyperinflation standard, IS-29, to cover cases not just of hyperinflation, but also of high inflation. And I think the board had two competing considerations there. We've been receiving requests for a long time from some parts of the world, particularly Latin America, to look at doing more work on hyperinflation or high inflation. But the scope of the work there will be very much just looking at the scope of IAS 29. It wouldn't be looking at the nature of inflation accounting. It wouldn't be looking at making changes to IAS 29 other than just the scope. The other consideration, I think, on that potential project is that clearly if you extend the scope, you bring more people into it, that might create new problems that we're not aware of. And so I think that the feasibility study would focus on assessing what the unintended consequences might be if we extend the scope. The second feasibility study is to look at one specific aspect of pension accounting, which is to do with an interaction between the cash flows and the discount rates for some types of hybrid pension scheme where the pensions depend on the returns from assets. We think there might be a relatively quick fix for some situations there. If it turns out that that's the case and that's viable, we'll pursue that. If not, most likely we'll recommend that the board does nothing on pension accounting over the next 4 to 5 years. And the third area we want to do a feasibility study on is to see whether it's possible to allow companies to use the recognition and requirements in full IFRS standards, but to use the disclosure requirements from the IFRS for SMEs. And the objective of that would really be targeted particularly at subsidiaries of listed companies where the subsidiary itself would qualify for the SME standard. At the moment, they could use the IFRS for SMEs, but they wouldn't be able to use the recognition and measurement requirements from the full IFRS standards. So again, we would look to see whether that looks like a viable project, what the unintended consequences might be, and whether how much effort and resource it would take to develop it. And if it looks viable, we'll recommend developing that. I wanted to mention one other project in the pipeline because that may be a newer one to you because that's not in our existing list, which is on variable and contingent consideration. There's a range of issues there that have been discussed by the Interpretation Committee over several years, and it seemed to be an area that was worthy of some discussion, and so we've added that into the pipeline. Now, I've said that for all of those pipeline projects, we're not working on them, we're not planning to work on them at the moment. We're conscious, as Hans said earlier, and as Hugh said, that our resources are limited, and I think even more importantly, stakeholders can only follow a certain number of projects at a time, and so we think we need to maintain that burden on stakeholders at a manageable level. And so we will turn on projects in the pipeline at a suitable time, but conscious of the overall load on the system as we go through. I should also say that this is our plan today. Things that aren't in the pipeline, the board does not intend to work on over the next 4 to 5 years. But clearly the world changes. If something new comes up, clearly we'll need to look at that again. And clearly the board will have the flexibility to adapt the programme as necessary as the world changes. But this is showing what the board's intentions are at the moment. The last area I wanted to cover was on other suggestions that came up in the comment letters and in the outreach, and on page, it's the second last comment. Before I get to those, let me go to page 24, which lists some other projects which were on our existing research list, but which you won't see on the new one. The first two are on foreign exchange and high inflation, or hyperinflation. And on both of those, the board has completed its initial assessment. Completed the assessment a year or so ago and concluded that it didn't plan to do anything else, but waited for feedback from the agenda consultation before making a final decision on that. So for foreign exchange, the board proposes to do nothing now. It's completed its assessment of that. The research is finished and it's planning no further work on that. On hyperinflation, the one thing the board is proposing to look at is this feasibility study I mentioned about whether we should consider extending the scope of the hyperinflation standard. On pensions, as I mentioned, We did some research on that. I'm not sure we did as much as we originally intended, but we concluded there was nothing at this stage that's worth doing over the next 4 to 5 years, apart from the feasibility study I mentioned for those particular types of hybrid plans. And the last one I wanted to mention on that was about intangible assets. The board decided to put in the pipeline the project on extractive industries. Now, on our existing work plan, that is linked, is labelled as being linked to work on intangible assets and research and development. The board doesn't think it's feasible to look at the whole landscape of intangible assets over the next 4 to 5 years. I think that would be a massive undertaking, would take a lot of effort, and it's not sure, I think, what it would necessarily lead to or whether there'd be a successful outcome. And so the board felt it was important to keep extractive activities in the pipeline, but has removed intangibles and doesn't propose to do any work on that over the next 4 to 5 years. And I should also mention income taxes. We did do more work on income taxes. We looked at the existing concerns that there are about the standard, and we did some outreach, particularly with users and to some extent with preparers. It was clear that nobody had any appetite for a fundamental review of the income taxes standard. We looked at whether we should do any sort of narrower scope amendments, looking at more targeted issues. But again, there didn't seem to be any that were sufficiently important or worthwhile to put on the list. And so the board's proposing to put nothing on income taxes on the either the active agenda or the research pipeline at this stage. So the final thing I want to mention is the final thing this time. On page 25 of Agenda Paper 2, there's a list of some of the projects that were suggested by respondents, but in comment letters or in outreach. The ones we've listed there are the ones that the board spent more time discussing. There was, of course, quite a long list of other things suggested by people, and the board looked at each of them. The list we've given you here is of the ones that survived through to the sort of second stage of the analysis. So that's all I wanted to say, and April wanted to say by way of setup. Should I just check whether anybody wants any clarification or anything before we move to the setup?
Sorry, could I just say, is it worth saying that when you discuss the research projects, the natural inclination, I think, when you discuss the research project, are to propose new topics for the board to consider for the research agenda. If you do that, could you equally think of which projects they would treat as being a low priority? Because it would be as well to know which ones you would like to trade in and out. I don't know if it's worth as well just mentioning that the next steps in this are likely to be that when we receive your advice, we'll take a draft work plan to reflect that advice for discussion by the board in July. And we hope that soon after that, the board would be in a position to put a preliminary work plan out into the public space.
Okay, thanks. Can I just see whether anybody does want any clarification of anything before we send you off to your discussion groups?
So if I can ask a question. I mean, the first thing you're asking the groups to talk about is the balance between the different parts of the work plan. What wasn't clear to me necessarily was actually what the relative balance is. We've clearly got the different components listed out, but actually how should we think about, you know, how much time, effort, resources is going to be allocated to each based on the draft work plan?
It is an interesting question. I think the current level of implementation support will, if anything, increase compared to the present. As was mentioned earlier, Henry's been made director of implementation, and he's thinking of additional ways in which we can help that. We will also be required to carry out a number of PIRs over the next few months and years. So I think the implementation will be more than it is at present. The research, obviously, maintenance is a large issue that's going to keep it. So I think our balance is moving away a bit from the very large projects which are transaction specific, and that movement is going equally into implementation support, maintenance, and also focusing on research, which had sort of been treated as a lower priority. So I think it's really your comments on the messages we received and whether we've taken the right messages out of that.
Is it helpful maybe, Peter, if you were to flag which of these projects already sort of are to do with implementation and maintenance? Because I think, for example, business combinations under common control is in part due to questions that we keep getting. And FICE, I think, at least in part, is designed to fix some known issues or questions with the application of 32 today. I think that's fair, yeah?
Yeah. The materials you've got in front of you focus more on the longer-term projects, so the standard-setting projects and the bigger research projects. We haven't provided detailed listings of all the maintenance activities because they tend to be short-lived. And so they would only be there for a few months or a year or two at most. So what you see listed out here separately is mostly bigger projects. It's mostly not the implementation type activity.
Any other questions, comments before we break? Is everyone clear what we've been asked to talk about? Come back. Sorry.
Just to follow up on your question, did I read somewhere that you actually mean in these graphs which show the work plan that the height of the columns has something to do with the amounts of resources relatively to each other you want to spend or plan to spend on it?
Yes, we attempted to do that because actually the board asked us the same question that Gavin just asked in a way as well. And we found it very difficult to find a useful way of quantifying the degree of effort because it's sort of partly staff effort, it's partly how much board time does it consume, it's partly how much time does it consume for stakeholders. And also it's not just quantity, it's quality as well. So a difficult topic, maybe a dynamic risk management, doesn't require the same type of resource as something that's more straightforward. So the height of the columns was a very rough attempt to try and quantify it. It's pretty imperfect, and I'm not sure you'd be able to see very much from it.
Yes.
Thank you. Peter, I'm sorry, but the equity method is something that Brazil is very sensitive about, and I'm not sure that I got correctly your comment. It is to wait until it will be enlisted on the feasible study for be analyzed if it is possible or not to work on it. Is that it?
So on high inflation, we've had a lot of very good input from Latin America over the years asking us to look at that topic. And what we're proposing to do, first of all, is to look only at the scope of IS-29. So we're not proposing any work on the content, the nature of what sort of adjustments you make for hyperinflation or high inflation, but just to look at the scope of the standard. Now, to look at the scope of the standard, what that would be extending it so it doesn't just apply to hyperinflationary economies, but also to economies with high inflation. And the standard setters in Latin America suggested as a kind of rule of thumb that we could consider high inflation as existing if there's inflation of about 8% per year over a three-year period, but just as a rule of thumb. Now, what we proposed to do in the feasibility study is to look at what the implications would be if we extended the scope of the standard in that kind of way, not necessarily using those percentages, but extending it somehow to cases of high inflation, not just hyperinflation. Now, I think the most difficult part of assessing the implication is trying to figure out what would happen if more countries and more companies started having to use that standard. Would that put extra stress on things that are already in the standard but maybe people cope with? How would users feel about that kind of information if they're not used to getting it? The Latin American standard setters said to us that our users are used to getting this kind of information. They like it, they understand it, it means things to them. But of course, in other parts of the world, the users may not have been getting that kind of information. We'd need to try and assess how they would cope with it if they received it. So that's what we would be trying to assess during the feasibility study is would there be any unintended consequences if we extended the scope so that it was being applied more broadly. Another factor we need to consider is that if we did extend it more, there might be more cases where countries went into high inflation for a bit and then came back out. And so that might also put some more stress on the standard. That's the kind of issue we'd be trying to assess.
Thank you. And about the equity method?
So for the equity method, again, the scope of the equity method was really extended a bit by IFRS 11, and it's being used more now for joint ventures. And so it seemed premature to rush into analysing the equity method when we know that there's a wider pool of companies now using that method. So as we've got a post-implementation review coming up, it seemed to make sense to wait a year or two, see what comes out of that PIR, and then look again at the equity method with that extra information in place.
Inataki, are you?
Yep.
Well, thank you. And I have one comment and one clarification, actually. Well, one comment is that I'm very happy that goodwill and the impairment project is placed in the active research project. I hope very good discussion will be done. And one clarification is that, I still stick to profit and loss definition. And if this issue will not be discussed in conceptual framework project, well, actually, this issue, may I think that this issue would be discussed in primary financial statements? Is that correct?
This question of how to define profit or loss, and it's already come up earlier today, it's very difficult, I think, to come up with a clean definition of profit or loss. So, and we looked at it in a lot of detail in the conceptual framework project over the last 3 years, I guess. And in fact, we and our predecessors have been looking at it for well over a decade before, and lots of other people have looked at it. So I think the idea that we would not get to a definition in the conceptual framework and then somehow in the next project we would be able to solve that problem that people have been debating around for years, I think is, it seems like hope of triumph of hope over experience, really. But I think what we are going to look at in the primary financial statements project is about how best to lay out information about performance. It's not just about trying to find a single number that tells you everything, but it's trying to find components that will give you useful information. And we think that we're better off trying to direct that project at looking at those components, looking at the layout, than at having another attempt at trying to find a number, which everybody has found very difficult to define in a very precise way.
It might just be worth adding, the board hasn't formally determined the scope of the primary financial statements project, and that's work that will be ongoing through the rest of this year. And this question will come up, but I think we'll have to see where we land.
Okay, if we can just quickly move around, because I also don't want to bite into the or eat up too much of the breakout time. Erwin?
Thank you. Just one quick question. With your PIRs, I expect that there would be issues that would come out from the PIR. So my question is, with the work plan that is being proposed here, do you already take into account the issues, like how you might incorporate the issues that might come out from your PIRs? Like, would you have time to work on it?
Yes, we considered that when we were looking at what resources were available both for us and stakeholders. Of course, we can't predict now which particular issues will come out of the PIR, but we were conscious of the need to do that.
Linda?
Yeah, I had a quick question on business combinations. Pushdown accounting, did that come in any research question or included in business combinations? Because I would have thought that would have been a quick win.
It's come up a bit in the project on business combinations under common control and whether we would consider doing it. And in the agenda consultation, I think a couple of people suggested doing it there. And I think we decided that, there didn't seem to be enough demand to look at push-down accounting as a separate topic.
Is it included and folded into another topic then, or it's not included at all?
No, it's not included at all as a separate project. It's one of the topics that might be looked at within the context of business combinations under common control. But I think from the discussions we've had, at least internally, we haven't got to the board with those discussions yet, but I would be a bit surprised if it ends up there, but that would remain to be seen.
Short questions. Business combinations under common control has been discussed for several years, but still is still on treated as a active research project, no major standard level projects, but say for regulated activities is treated as a standard level project. My question is that what consideration do you have when you deciding which items should be placed on a standard level project and which one or place should be placed on research projects?
So for regulated activities, the reason the board put that on the standard setting agenda was that the board felt that it was inevitable that some sort of standing setting activity would be needed, because IFRS 14 is a temporary standard, first of all, and secondly, it allows one treatment for first-time adopters but doesn't make that treatment available to entities that are already on IFRS. So the board felt that whatever happens, it would need to do something with IFRS 14. It's not yet clear what it will do with IFRS 14. For business combinations under common control, it's still not clear whether we would need to do a standard setting project at all yet. And so the research will be designed to discover that.
John.
Thank you very much. With respect to the research project on the ECFI method, we fully agree that a broad project is needed and to fundamentally assess the equity method. However, it's unlikely that those activities will result in standard setting activities in the near future. And as we know, there are a number of application issues related to the application of the equity methods. For example, the elimination of intercompany profits. And we are concerned that if all standard setting activities will be deferred in due to that research project, that those inconsistencies we see nowadays will continue for a very long time. So we were wondering whether it would be possible to have a closer look to the application issues which are nowadays, and to see which of these items could be solved in the near future in order to improve the quality of the application of the equity method.
Okay, at the risk of getting too far into talking about individual projects and preempting the group discussion, but let me just give you a little bit of background on that. So the board initially felt that maybe we could do some quick fixes to the equity method and then come back to a fundamental reconsideration. We discussed that with ASAF, and they were fairly unenthusiastic about that approach. And I think that's understandable, because the equity method is used in different cases. It's used for associates, it's used for joint ventures. Maybe some of the joint ventures are quite closely integrated into the group. It might seem natural to want to eliminate intercompany transactions there. Some associates might be quite passive. It might seem natural not to want to bother to eliminate them. And so even trying to answer some of those sort of practice issues, it's quite difficult without a good sense of where you might be headed with the equity method. And that's why we felt that overall it's probably best not to try and rush into those, but to sit back for a broader list. But it's probably not worth getting into a detailed discussion now, but if it's a topic you want to pursue, it might be worth discussing it in your groups, and then we can discuss it in the feedback, in the report back session.
Last one, Saria.
Thank you. Peter, to some extent, I echo Tom's comment. It's a bit unclear reading
the paper you presented, at what stage the research projects will become standard level projects. So one way of reading it is it'll be 2021 all the way to 2026, and I hope that's not the intention. And the second question is, we've talked a lot about primary financial statements, and I heard your comment that the board has not yet set the boundaries for that. But where is the placeholder for that in your paper? Because I really didn't get to see that placeholder in your paper.
So on that question on timing, the research projects, as I said, the objective of the research is to gather the evidence that's needed for the board to take the decision to put something on the agenda or not. So clearly that will be different for different projects depending on how long they're going to take. So in some cases they might be relatively close and the decision might be quite near. For example, principles of disclosure, there's a discussion paper about to come out. Once we've got the feedback on that, then we should have the evidence we'll need for the agenda decision at that point, and it will switch to the standards level project. Clearly, if there's something in the pipeline and we don't start the research until sort of 2020, 2021, then obviously the standards level project will be much further along. But it depends how much research is needed to get to the point where we can take the agenda decision. But the whole idea of this process was to make sure that the decision to put something on the active standard setting agenda is evidence-based, and so we don't sort of rush into something until we've got sufficient evidence.
So just to be clear, you don't have to wait until the next agenda consultation to put something onto the active agenda, right?
Yeah, that's absolutely right. And I think people were a bit confused this time round because it was the first cycle we've been through and not many, well, in fact, nothing really had got to the end of the cycle. So I think people didn't have a clear view of how the whole thing works.
Sorry. On the primary financial statements, where's the placeholder on your paper?
Well, on page 18, when we discuss the individual projects in the research agenda, we do say that the scope and objective of the project is currently being developed. It was of high importance to many respondents, which is why it's on the active agenda, obviously.
That's correct. But just to try and clarify one other misconception, research doesn't mean it's unimportant, it just means we haven't yet got the evidence to put it onto the standard setting agenda.
Sounds to me like we're going to have a lively breakout discussion. There are apparently three questions. I've obviously got an old version of the paper. So question one is the balance between the different activities. Question two is any comments on the draft programme of active research projects and the research pipeline. And question three, which I didn't mention before, is any comments or suggestions that we may have on communications of the new work plan and the research pipeline, specifically on what's going to be included in the feedback statement on the agenda consultation. So those are the three questions that we have. I believe on your table you have a list of the breakout groups and locations. And I think one of the groups is in this room, and then three of the groups are in the other rooms. So if I can suggest we break now, we have until 12:15, so just over an hour. If we can make sure we're back here again and ready to start by 12:15. That'd be great. Thank you very much.